Okay, I've got a quiz for you. Now, we're going to keep it quiet in here so I can hear your answers. Okay, this is a current world leaders. So, current world leaders. And I want to ask you, which nation you think leads the world of fashion? Now, this is all subjective, of course, but I know the right answer. So, what do we think? Italy, you are correct, Atti. 1 point to you. Well done. Italy apparently leads the world of fashion. Football. Oh, hold on. Does anyone else know? England. We wish. Brazil? No.
Holland?
No. No. Belgium. Who said that? Someone that... Tony, well done. 1 point to you, Tony. It's Belgium. Technology.
Japan.
You can call out. You can call out. We don't have to do hands up. Right, for living, where's the best place to live?
Norway,
yeah, apparently it's Norway. Who knew? I think they experience quite a lot of darkness in the winter, but apparently it's the place to live. Okay, for rugby. No, it's not New Zealand. South Africa, it is South Africa. Someone said South Africa. Yes. Okay, culture. Where is the best place for heritage and culture? Norfolk. No, not London. Paris, good guess, no. That's a good guess, actually. Newcastle, Western Supermare. No, it's Italy again, apparently. Who knew? Okay, and the final question. There's only one answer, isn't it? Britain. I mean, we have the best range of where they go. Apparently, Portugal and Costa Rica are some of the most pleasant climates to live in. Okay, we're going to come back to some of that in a little while. Just our notices this week. Just have a few. Our prayer meeting, our Saturday morning prayer meeting is now on Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock. So this is for everyone to be involved in. Some of you may still be sleeping at 7 o'clock. Some of you may be getting ready for work. But we do half an hour on Zoom, time to pray together, to commit ourselves into God's hand, to commit our nation into his hands, to pray. It's so important for us to pray. So I want to encourage you, if you've got access to a computer and you can join us, we just log in and we just pray for half an hour and then off we go with our days. I can give you the code or I can send it to you. We're not publishing it on the website because, you know, there's all the strange people who do stuff. So we're not publishing it on the website, but if you would like to join us on Zoom, please do. It's a great opportunity to be together. We have home groups. Home groups are an opportunity to gather together, to spend time together. Obviously, normally we'd do that in person, but at the minute we're doing it via technology. But it tends to be on Wednesdays. If you're not part of a group, you're very welcome to join one. Come and speak to me at the end, and we'll get you signed up to a group. Our community fridge, great to see people who are coming to our community fridge, runs out in the car park on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings at 9:30, and it is absolutely brilliant. It's amazing. It's great. If you haven't come, you should come along. It's just so great to be there. And finally, I said it earlier, but we're not going to have this time at the end to socialise, so I want to encourage you, just each week, try and meet up with someone or try and make a phone call. I know many of you are doing that anyway, but if you're not yet, just think, oh, I want to talk to that person, give them a call. Let's just spend those times together. Right, the last thing I need to do is say a thank you. And I'm going to invite Iris to come up, actually. Yeah, you. We'd like to say thank you. This has been a long time coming. Iris has been keeping us updated with all that's going on with Release. She's been providing the magazines, telling us things to pray for and various things. And she's now going to stop doing that after doing it for many years. And I want to say thank you to you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you. Release helps the persecuted church across across various different nations. And it's really helpful to know what's going on in other nations, that we can pray, that we can understand, that it helps us in our walk with God. And it's so good to remember. I don't know if you're aware, but this week there was 23 Eritrean prisoners who were released, Christians who some have been imprisoned for more than 10 years, and they were released this week. And we're praying that that results in more being released. But it's so good that they've been released, that they're now free. And it's really helpful for us to know about these things. So we're looking for someone else to just provide that link between release and what's going on and the church. So if that's something that you think you could do, it's not a huge task. But if you talk to Andrew, is that all right? If you wave your hands, Andrew, if you think that you could do that, you could put in a bit of time. It's not a huge time commitment, but it is just keeping us informed of what's going on. Please speak to Andrew and we'll get you sorted out with what you need to know. We've got birthdays. So we've got two birthdays. Neither of the people are here today, but it's Louise's birthday today. So you might want to send her a message, say happy birthday to her. Yeah, it's today, yeah. And then it's Agnes's birthday in a couple of days. So if you're in contact with Agnes, just send her a message, say happy birthday. That'll be brilliant. Okay, if you're young and you've got a bag under your chair, you've got a bag, you have got a couple of activities to do under your chair. Some of the adults are thinking, where's my bag? Where's... Some of you are feeling very young today. So you've got a colouring sheet to do, but you've also got some Play-Doh, and you need to make a big mountain, as big as you can with the amount of Play-Doh you've got. And we'll have a little look at those in a minute. Okay, I started this morning by, well, not this morning, but I started by asking you about current world leaders. And it was interesting that we didn't know all of them. We didn't know who was the best at this, who was the best at that. And that's because it changes so quickly. Changes. In my lifetime, the centre of world power may change. It may change. This week, if you like cricket, there was a cricket match this week. And there was an opportunity for England to become the number one cricket team at T20 in the world. They missed it. Unfortunately, they didn't manage to do it. But it shows how fleeting these things are. Things change. And this morning, we're going to look at a heavenly perspective on empires and kingdoms. I've called this morning The Rock. And we're going to look at Daniel 2. This is part of our One Thing Remains series. So if you've got a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to Daniel 2. If you've not brought a Bible this week, why not bring it next week? It's good to be able to read from your Bible, to be able to see what's going on, to be able to see what's going on around the text that we read. So I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 2. It's a fairly long section. So, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive reward from me, gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demands. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of a magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all of the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time they might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Babylon, to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries made it known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and its arms silver, its middle and thighs bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly iron and partly clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on the feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O King, the King of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. Where was I? But some of the firmness of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with soft clay. And as the toes and feet were partly iron, partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end. And it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us, and we pray this morning, would you speak to us? Lord, we open our hearts to you this morning. Say, Lord, we want to hear your voice this morning. We ask you to speak so clearly to each and every one of us. Lord, would you reveal things from heaven to us this morning? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So there was a problem. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Nebuchadnezzar was woken by a dream that terrified him. And this was a problem for him. For Babylonian culture, it was believed that dreams revealed something of the future. And how a king interpreted those dreams, how he understood them, could lead to his success or failure. It was so important for Nebuchadnezzar to know what was in this dream. He already ruled vast areas of the known world, and it was so important that he understood what was going on. He didn't want to lose his kingdom. We see here the most powerful man of that time feeling very insecure. He commands and brings in his magicians and enchanters and those who would give him this information. And he doesn't even trust them. He doesn't trust them. He won't tell them the dream because he thinks they'll just give him an answer that will just keep him happy. He doesn't trust them. So he says to them, "No, you tell me the dream, then I'll know you can tell me the interpretation." And you can see that tension as he says this to them, and then they basically say the same thing again. They say, "Tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation." They're so shocked by his command that he's not going to tell them the dream that they just repeat the question. "I'm sorry, King, tell us the dream." No, you will tell me the dream. And the king's angry with them. He's angry because they can't meet his command. The problem for Nebuchadnezzar was a problem for all of the wise men and the enchanters. And we see from the Daniel wasn't brought in with these other wise men. He wasn't brought in. He was left outside. And they're just saying, King, no one can do that. No one can do that. Only the gods can reveal. Babylon had many gods. And we see at the end as Nebuchadnezzar responds, this was no issue. This was not him suddenly becoming a follower of Yahweh. This was just him adding Yahweh to his list of gods. Just saying, oh, this one's a good one. It's done something for me. Right, I'm going to follow that one as well. The demand and their response of these wise men is just these verses. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So, the king says, I'll just kill you all. He appoints someone to do the job for him, because that's what kings do. Appoints someone to do the job for him, and off he goes, rounding them up. Daniel hears about what's going on, and he finds out, why is this happening? And he responds, he trusts God. He gets himself an audience with the king. Now this, people who walk before kings risk their life. And Daniel risks his life because he trusts God. He trusts that God has placed him in this foreign land with cultures that he doesn't fully understand. He trusts that God has placed him there for a purpose and for a reason. And grace is testimony. God has a purpose and a reason for everything. And Daniel knows that, and he trusts God. So he gets himself this encounter with the king. And he says, I'll find out for you. And then he runs home and says, I need help. I'm going to get a bit of help from my friends. He gathers together his friends. He says to them, we've got to seek God. We need to know this, what is going on. We need to that revelation from God. And he doesn't do it on his own. He gathers his friends together. He calls them to prayer and to seeking God. And they seek God. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, don't look in a dictionary, don't look in a thesaurus, don't look in an encyclopedia. Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Daniel knew this. If he lacked wisdom, if he lacked knowledge, to seek God. So they seek God. They ask God, they get before him, and God reveals to them, reveals to Daniel the answer. And what does Daniel do? Great. Off I go, run off, I go talk to the king. No, he stops and he praises God. He gives God the glory. He says this wonderful prayer talking about what God does. He changes the times and seasons, removes kings, sets up kings. He reveals deep and hidden things. He praises God for who he is. And then when he enters into the presence of the king, he doesn't say, yep, yep, all your other wise men, they can work it out, but I worked it. No, he says, there's a God who's revealed this. He doesn't take any of the credit himself. He says, there's a God who's revealed it, and he's revealed it so that you may know the thoughts of your mind. He takes himself out of the picture, and he focuses Nebuchadnezzar's attention on God, and that the dream has been given for a purpose and a reason. And even when he's promoted, Daniel's still giving praise to God. So let's have a look at this dream. Four kingdoms. Four kingdoms of man. And then one kingdom, one stone, cut without human hands, that destroys them all. Now, whenever I read something like this, I'm thinking, well, what are those four kingdoms? I don't know whether any of you are like, I want to know. There are different theories, but this one seems to make sense. So the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and the Roman Empire. And what we can do is we can look back at history. Is the Babylonian Empire still around? What about the Medo-Persian Empire? No. Greek Empire? No. Roman Empire? No. You find during the Roman Empire that a stone is cut and it starts to destroy those kingdoms of man. Not through military might, not through power of man, but through the work of God. When John the Baptist foretold of Jesus' coming, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe." Jesus said in Luke 17, he said, "The kingdom of God is in your midst." Speaking of himself, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And he said, as he was arrested and put on trial, he said to Pontius Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's not geographical. It's not of this world." And what we see is, like with our world powers that we looked at earlier, the powers, the kingdoms of man, the achievements of man are like chaff. If you're not a farmer, you might think, what on earth is that? I don't know a lot about farming, but I know that if you don't have machinery to get your grain out, you beat it out and then you throw it into the wind. And the grain is heavier than the rest. The rest blows away and the grain remains. That's chaff blown away. The kingdoms of man, the achievements of man, like chaff blown away. Blown away. The kingdom of God grows. And it's the one thing that remains in this vision. It's the one thing that remains. This was King Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man on the earth at that time, being revealed that actually his kingdom, he just saw the, you know, I'm the head of gold, you know, I've got the most important kingdom. But actually his kingdom would fall and it would fall to nothing. We have the kingdoms of men and we have the kingdom of God. And I've got two challenges for us this morning. The first one is if you've not given your life to Jesus, you're not in the kingdom of God. Whether your family, whether you've been brought up in a Christian home, you tick the box, I'm a Christian on the census. Unless you're following Jesus, unless you've repented and turned to him, you're not in the kingdom of God. So there's a choice. Submit to the king. Join his kingdom. Everything else will ultimately fall away, but his kingdom will remain. His kingdom will remain. Submit to him. His kingdom is not won by might, but it was won by his sacrifice on the cross. We look at the kingdoms of men and we see that they're won by might. We see the pressures in the world around us. We see the way that things operate with world leaders and the power struggles. We see that. But Jesus came and brought in a kingdom that was totally different. When he was encouraged to bring his kingdom in by his own power, he chose the way of submission to the cross. He said, my kingdom won't be won by swords. Peter, put your sword away. My kingdom won't be won by swords. My kingdom will be won by my death, my sacrifice, because that will change the times. That will change everything. That's how my kingdom will come about. That's how it'll break in. And that's how it'll bring change in people's lives. And if you've not submitted, if you've not joined the kingdom, I want to encourage you to do that. It's the one thing that will remain. What we've discovered during this time of coronavirus is that things can change quicker than we could ever imagine. This time last year, we had no idea. Beginning of March, we had no idea. It was something that was somewhere else. Had no idea. Things change, but there's one thing that remains. And that's the one thing that gives us hope and joy and peace during this time of just absolute, what is going on? We know. But I think the second challenge from this is if you're already giving your life, if you're already saying, hey, I follow Jesus, what are you building on? Whose kingdom are you building? I want to read from 1 Corinthians 3. This is Paul speaking. And he says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. He's talking about church, he's talking about building church and building God's kingdom. And he said, let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Any other foundation, it will fail. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Speaking about when Jesus comes. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. There's a challenge in this passage about how we are building our lives. Are we building them on the kingdom of God? Is that the thing that is shaping every minute of every day? Or are we building our own kingdom? Are we building our own career? Are we building our own prestige? And I believe from this morning, this is the challenge for us. Will you commit yourself to building God's kingdom? That may be, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to work for a church. You can build God's kingdom in a great way in your workplace. Sharing your faith with others, being a good employee, living out the kingdom values that Jesus said amongst those you're with. You can do that if you're retired. You can live out the kingdom with your neighbours. You can show love. You can go the extra mile. You can be generous. You can show those kingdom values by living it out, by letting it just go through your pores, by praying for your community. But we can live this stuff out. And this is what's going to last. When that day comes, this is what's going to last. It's those things that we've done in faith, in the blood of Jesus Christ, that we've done for him to build his kingdom. They're the things that will last. The degrees, they won't last. How much money you've got in the bank, that won't last. Nothing else will last. It'll be chaff, blown away. But what will last is the things that we do for God in faith. I want to encourage you, so I invite Liz and Grace to come up. I want to encourage us. We're going to sing a song which speaks about, I will build my life upon the rock. It is a firm foundation. Jesus is that rock. Jesus is that stone that breaks in and he changes everything, and his kingdom is a kingdom that grows. And this morning there's an opportunity for us to again submit our lives to him and say, I want to build your kingdom, God. I want to be part of it. I want to give everything I've got. And there may be specifics that God's speaking to you about this morning. As you open up your heart and you open up your lives and say, I want to go for this, God may speak to you and say, there's that thing you're holding on to. There's that thing that you've not given to me. I want to encourage you during this time to respond to him and to let go of those things and ask God to help you to follow him wholeheartedly, with passion, with confidence, because he has a great plan.